Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Bill Pollack, and I'm the Communication and Transition Manager in the SEI's Software Solutions Division. Today, I would like to introduce an interview that I conducted in late June at one of the largest outdoor music festivals in the United States. A team of SEI researchers attended the four-day music festival at the invitation of Adam Miller, director of the Huntington County, Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency. The festival typically draws close to 100,000 concert goers to a rural farm in Pennsylvania that lacks significant infrastructure and is accessible only by two-lane highway. Miller is charged with ensuring the public safety, so it seemed like a good match to partner with researchers from the SEI's Advanced Mobile Systems team, which supports emergency responders and soldiers in the field who work in situations with limited computer resources, poor connections with networks, and highly diverse missions. Given the size and social nature of the concert, Miller and the Advanced Mobile Systems team determined that it would be an ideal test environment for a number of ideas the SEI team was developing around social media. The team's plan was to gather and analyze social media data, such as tweets, in real time and render it in ways that might support public safety activities. During research and development, the SEI researchers examined social media associated with the Boston Marathon bombings and Hurricane Sandy. The data from those events helped the team understand the kinds of social media information that might prove useful using a technique they developed known as edge analytics. The following is an audio recording of Miller talking about his experience with the tools.
I'm curious about, you know, how you hooked up with our guys.
What was it that intrigued you about what they were doing?
Well, you know, I participated in reviewing or looking over a lot of experiments, and,
yeah,
you know, looking to the future of emergency management needs, I understand that the social space in which we live as people in our communities is so broad, wide, and deep that if we fail to take advantage now of capturing that information process flow in order to provide the best possible services to folks and give them a chance to communicate with us,
right,
you know, we're going to fail ourselves.
Right.
So I, among the many things I looked at out there, I'm looking at technologies that can, you know, help technology paths that can help to support the broader prevention and response mission spaces of the responder community. And, you know, as we talked, you know, the CMU folks were knowledgeable about the basically this mission space, and they also had, you know, a very good understanding in our discussions of what the responder mission ultimately will be in the long term.
The future of it.
You know, as far as...
And how it's evolving.
That's right. And so, you know, we entered into deeper discussions, and, you know, I saw this venue here as an excellent opportunity to basically incorporate the ideas that they have and that we have together into something that could potentially be actionable. So we decided to make an experiment.
Uh-huh.
We met... I mean, we're a very small department. We're...
Uh-huh.
But we're well connected in our universe. So, you know, as you can look around you, right now we're one of the largest cities in Pennsylvania for 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it's an interesting experience. And, you know, we open the dialogue deeper to say, you know, hey, look, you know, what would we want to get out of it? What could be mutually beneficial?
So what do you want to get out of it? Proof of concept?
Well, in part, there's a proof of concept, you know, and as they're working to prove this concept, for us, in my mission space today, I'm able to capture the flow of information in our working environment that affects the way we operate here. And if we can identify things that may threaten the efficiency of operation or potentially the safety of our guests, you know, we'd like to be able to, you know, make use of that information. The challenge for us is there's a cognitive overload in the amount of information in this space. And so in order for us to be effective in moving forward with making actionable decisions on this broad piece of intelligence that's out there, we have to apply business rules in order to condense that information into something that can be acted upon in reasonable use, you know, in a reasonable circumstance, you know, that a reasonable person can say, I would take this information and do something with it. And there are so many different vectors of information out there that we want to have them intersect in a space where we can capture them in real time, because that's when the moment of opportunity exists now to prevent what's going to happen in the future. We want to move further away from the reactive side of the spectrum and closer to the proactive and preventive side.
So do you think the real-time component is the difference maker in terms of what these guys are developing?
That's the goal that we have. This experiment's goal is to essentially create a new realm for our prevention space, to where we can potentially see in real time, or even someday and possibly predict what may be our next hazard. And what may be the next operational condition or operational challenge we're going to face. And, you know, they're building, basically this experience is designed to give a sample set of business rules that we would go by. You know, what would threaten our way of doing business? What would threaten our community's efficiency or safety? You know, all of those different perspectives. Sure. It goes the whole way from the benign to the adversarial.
Right.
And what we could do with that is, you know, we're not reaching into closed space. We're not reaching into private space. Or, you know, we're taking what's in the open source
public domain.
And placing that against known elements that we can pull in. So, an example would be, we hear about an incident that there's an electrified wire down. That happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So because of that, we got reports from the field that traffic was backing up. So it involved Department of Transportation, first responders, individuals in the group, and then from here, we pushed information using the application to all the festival goers all over the country to tell them, hey, don't come down this road, 522, you know, come around. This is an alternate route.
So and you did that through what channel? Through Twitter?
We actually did through an application, push application.
I see.
So, you know, we were taking advantage of all of these different directions and streams saying, right now we know something. And what we did was, it allowed us to redirect people before they got here, and it relieved the traffic congestion, so everybody won.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's an example of where we can win. You know, and I know there are more.
So one of the questions I asked the guys was, it seems to me that all of this is kind of predicated on the assumption that a lot of people here are using Twitter, or a large percentage, or at least enough that you're getting a representative reporting from all this crowd.
It's a starting point.
Yeah, it's a starting point.
You know, in the future, you know, we need to be in a position to work with all the social media resources, as well as the proprietary media resources and the established media resources or mainstream.
Yeah.
In order to communicate with our community of patrons, you know, what our needs or expectations are, and so hopefully in the future, you know, find a space where we can be allocating resources more effectively in a preventive manner, because we can anticipate what their needs are going to be.
Right.
And that's what we did with the traffic thing, is we actually anticipated that backup would close us down. So that's why we pushed it out, and it allowed that relief. So these are real-world examples of where that efficiency can be found. And this is only a small segment.
Sure.
Imagine if we were able to, you know, grow this segment. Our mission space is pretty clear. You know, we're trying to keep people safe. We're trying to allow them to do their daily business unobstructed from the outside, you know, the challenges and the environment they face. You know, I believe that an informed and aware individual is empowered to make their best decision. They're going to take care of themselves, you know, and I believe in the power of the individual. So if I empower you and train you how to save your life, you'll probably save your own life. You know, I mean, if I empower you to stop bleeding on somebody, then you're more likely than not to take action to help somebody.
Right.
So these are the ranges of opportunity. You know, when we know this is empowering us to help other people.
Thank you so much for joining us today. For more information about the SEI's research in pervasive mobile computing, please see their Our Work tab at sei.cmu.edu/mobilecomputing/research/index.cfm. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.